Now, the way things have been going at Spurs recently, the chance to wallow in a bit of nostalgia is most welcome. A new book, the authorised 100th anniversary biography of a global football icon. It's a glorious life. Danny Blanchflower, Tottenham's most successful ever captain, the double winner in 1961. A complex man, an interesting man, which is why Mike Donovan's written the book. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Yeah, he, a fantastic player, much loved by the fans, a sort of legend at the club. I mean, how did this authorised biography come about? So you went to the family and said you wanted to put it together, and they were happy for you to do it.
Yes, that's right. I was sort of anxious to get something, a hook, really.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they had the 100th anniversary, but I also wanted to make it a bit different, a bit more personal. And and Richard, his son, had never, as far as I know, done much before.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, perfect hook, really. And he was absolutely a gentleman, really lovely guy.
And it was kind of his time at Spurs, the most successful period at Spurs, when he was quite old, Andy was pointing out earlier on, wasn't he? In his sort of mid-30s.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, his career was a very slow burner, really. He started off at Glentoran and it just burnt Barnes. He was just hardly that glamorous. And then he went to Aston Villa. But all the while he was, inching towards the top. And then even at Spurs, he joined Spurs in 54.
Yeah.
And they never won, they didn't win the trophy, the double till 61. So, it was a real slow burner because he kept, falling out with people along the way.
Yeah, that's right. He was a very single-minded man. I mean, probably best exemplified by the fact that Eamon Andrews turned up with a big red book for This Is Your Life.
It's an amazing thing.
And he said, This Is Your Life. And he said, no, it isn't. And said he decided he didn't want to do it. He refused to do it. Not many people have done
embarrassed.
That. Yeah, not many people have done that. It's quite a famous bit of old footage, isn't it? Really?
I think he's the only person to have done it, actually. Yeah. I mean, a couple threatened to do it and
finally. And then when, because they get, I mean, obviously they put a lot of work and time and money into it. So they work hard to cajole you into it. But he was not, for turning, was he?
Yeah, they had all sorts of guests flying in from all over the place and all sitting in the studios. And he said, well, it's not my problem. You made the arrangement, not me. And
what was the kind of, can you think of a modern equivalent of him as a player? What sort of player would you compare him? Because, I mean, positions are different. Players play in different ways. Andy, you saw him play, didn't you, before my time?
What would you say? I mean, he was sort of a cultured defender. Would you say that?
Well, I'd say he was more of a midfielder. He's right half. He would be like a number eight, I suppose.
Yeah, he used to a get six or an eight.
He was
a
link between.
We're still having the six or the eight. Could he play as a six or eight or a ten? Probably not a ten. He wouldn't go that far.
It's all rubbish, isn't it?
Yeah.
John White was the eight. He was more the six.
He played the number eight. But he was an attacking wing half. I would put him down as, because Peter Baker used to cover him all the time, the fullback. He didn't particularly like going back. I mean, he did go back, but he was mainly a forward. He had a lot of, I don't know, he's a good, great passer.
Yeah, I've only ever seen him
reader
on,
of the game.
Just watching old footage of him playing, watching sort of old cup finals back and stuff. He was very good on the ball, wasn't he? He was a kind of class act.
It was a great team as well. They won the double in 61, they won the cup in 62, and then they won the cup winners' cup in 63.
So
probably one of the most successful teams in Spurs history.
What went wrong?
I would rate him as probably Spurs, you could argue, he's Spurs' best ever player.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe not in terms of profile, in terms of skill, but in terms of what he achieved and what, had the intelligence he had.
He managed Chelsea as well, didn't he? Had a spell managing Chelsea.
I think that was not successful. But, I mean, he did inherit a pretty poor team.
Bill Nicholson, the legendary Spurs manager, wanted him to be the next manager. Why did that not happen?
Well, the ball turned Bill down. Bill approached the board, and the board had had always sort of backed everything he did, because basically he ran the club from, as Cliff Jones once said, from boardroom to boot room.
Yeah.
So Bill was really, really upset about that. And they'd never done it before. And he said, well, look, I've carried this club for all these years and achieved all this.
Yeah.
Was it Keith Birkinshaw that took over?
Yeah, it was. Yeah. Well, no, Terry Neill, wasn't it? First, of course. Okay. Yeah. We don't talk about that.
That was
like an aberration. That was like the Wizard of Oz. Yeah, I don't quite know what went on there. But the media career as well. I mean, these were the days that, you know, if you think of a profile of a bloke like him and what he achieved, he'd probably just be a professional Danny Blanche fan for the rest of his life these days. But you couldn't do that then because he had to go out and make a living, and he was a journalist and a broadcaster and a commentator, and he had to have a kind of life beyond football, didn't he?
I mean, he was a one-off really in so many ways. I mean, he was doing journalism in 1949.
Yeah.
And, you know, these days it's quite commonplace for footballers to do bits and pieces in the media, but those days it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, he was there for his football knowledge, but he had to kind of earn a living, didn't he? He had to go out and become a journalist and do the job properly.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, with the wage so high, you know, footballers, about 20 quid, you know, he fought for that, you know, he went on Panorama and, you know, this is the thing with him, he had mates who were philosophers and he was a complete unique kind of character, you know. As a footballer, you wouldn't imagine him debating the Einstein's theory of relativity or whatever it is.
he's also a man that quite a lot of quotes, quite a lot of things that we see around the stadium, you know, kind of come from Danny Blanchflower, don't they? And the things he said when he was in charge of the club, he was a man who often had a fantastic turn of phrase like that, which is probably why he became a journalist.
He was a very eloquent man. I mean, argumentative, but very fair-minded. I mean, his son made the point that he was a very fair-minded footballer. He would never cheat in any way. And when anybody ever cheats, he was really angry with them. And so he had a lot of qualities. And as I say, we could do with a few of them today. You know? Yeah,
he'd have a struggle with today's game.
I think he would.
So much cheating.
I went to his testimonial in 1990, and it was Tottenham versus a Northern Ireland team. And it was he was very emotional, but I think we realised he was at the early stage of dementia and Parkinson's disease he had as well. He wasn't a well man that night at Spurs.
It was a sad occasion, really. But, you know, Gascoigne tried to ruffle his hair or something and completely bemused him, you know.
Yeah.
So he was, he was clearly on the way. Yeah, he was still just about there, but clearly in decline. It's very sad.
Mike's book is called A Glorious Life, the authorised 100th anniversary biography of Danny Blanchflower. It's published by Pitch and it's out now.
You know what's amazing? I've just noticed this never happens now. The Spurs team photo for the double winning team.
Yeah.
They're all in the order of the where they play.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Now they won't even do that when they put a team sheet out.
So it's the forward line in the front and the back line in the back, the defence in the back. Amazing.
Brown, Baker, Henry, that's right, they are. They're all lined up in the same way. Now, Mike, before we let you go, Bo Greaves has just made history overnight winning the first PDC tournament. A woman to win a first PDC tournament, which is great. But without your old man, we may never have had darts on TV. I mean, it may have found a way, but he was a real pioneer. He was the first man to put darts on TV in this country, wasn't he?
That's correct, yeah. I'm glad you picked up on that, Paul. He never did it to have
make
any
money,
recognition, but he was very, very passionate about darts, and he was a good administrator and an international dart player himself.
You were telling me he organised a national inter-county competition that ITV put on, and they had the London Super League that Eric Bristow turned up to the 25th anniversary of. And no one really...
Must have been Dave Lanning on the commentary.
Might have been Dave Lanning. Could well have been. Maybe,
I don't know. I can't remember.
But this would be the 60s, wouldn't it? Before, like, indoor league and...
Yeah. I mean, he founded all sorts of things, and he was a pioneer, really. I mean, but again, I was very proud of him, but he never got the recognition.
No.
And, you know,
what was his first name?
Sorry?
What was his first name?
Morris Donovan.
Mm-hmm. So there, I think maybe it should be recognised by everybody in the world of darts because, so Luke Littler is doing rather well off the back of that. maybe he could send you a cheque.
Yeah, a bit of royalties.
Yeah, I think my dad could have done with a few, Bob, actually.
But you say you're not a great darts player. You know,
me personally, no. But my brother's okay. My brother Sean's pretty good, but I'm...
never got the bug.
Well, I don't mind playing it, but I'm useless. Like, yeah. I'm useless playing football, but I still enjoy it.
We know McNamara's band would have been your walk-on for the darts. Definitely, wouldn't it? Yeah. Well, Mike, best of luck with the book.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for popping in. Glorious Life, the Danny Blanchflower official autobiography published by Pitch. And for those Spurs fans who don't remember times, and that includes me because I wasn't around when this happened. I've had to do it from sort of hearsay and watching old footage. Yeah, a fascinating story about a really interesting, complex man who was a brilliant footballer.